Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2022. It's 2:01 a.m. I don't think I have the right time. It's 6:01 a.m. in Beijing, China. That's right. 7:01 a.m. in Tokyo, Japan. 9:01 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, 2:01 p.m. in Vancouver, Canada, 4:01 p.m. in Garland, Texas, 10:01 p.m. in Lagos, Nigeria, and London, England, 11:01 p.m. in Berlin, Germany. It is midnight in Israel and 1 a.m. in Moscow, Russia. What time is it where you are? I hope that it is a good time for you. I want to thank you for being with me and with us. In our lesson today, we're going to be talking about the dead judged statement of prophecy. To begin, I want to start with a prayer for you from Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. It says in the Amplified Classic Translation, "Blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy. And blessed, happy, to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near." End quote. Friend, today I declare over you, according to the word of God, that you are blessed, happy to be envied, because today you will hear the word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and you will keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them, laying them to your heart, because the time for them to be fulfilled is indeed near. So excited to be with you today and to share with you about the dead judge statement of prophecy. Let's begin with getting an understanding of the reality of statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. In the conclusion of the book, the Apostle John, one of two narrators of the conclusion of the book, says this to us, the reader, in verse 18 of chapter 22. It says, "I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. If anyone shall add anything to them, God will add and lay upon him the plagues, the afflictions, and the calamities that are recorded and described in this book." Also, in verse 6 of chapter 22, John says, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass." So let us take a look carefully at that language, because it means what has been shared there, it means that specifically asserted by the primary narrator of the book of Revelation, John the Apostle, that there are statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So again, listening for that language, statements of prophecy, in verse 18 of chapter 22, John says, "I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book." And then he gives a warning, but the key thing for us right now is that there are statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, We are going to be focusing specifically on the dead judged prophecy, that statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So where are the statements of prophecy in the book? They begin with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22. Each statement of prophecy is followed by another statement of prophecy. And after the last statement of prophecy, the book of Revelation ends with a formal conclusion. In the beginning of the book, we have foundational elements. For example, there's a summary of the book in its entirety. That's the first half of chapter 1. Then we have a formal introduction with John as our narrator. And then there's some other foundational elements. Today we're focusing on the statements of prophecy, specifically the dead judged prophecy. It begins with verse 11 of chapter 20 and ends with verse 15. So if you're going to follow along with your Bible, we'll be in Revelation chapter 20. Today, looking at the dead judged prophecy. So these are the questions that I will be focused on answering for you and for us. These questions, which are answered in this prophecy, as well as the book of Revelation. Number one, what does God say about being immortal? Number two, what is the book of life? Another question, is it possible to avoid death? What is Judgment Day? Will every person who ever lived be restored to life and live again? What is the second death? And what's the secret and true meaning of the words asleep, death, and the dead? Who will be judged at the Great White Throne Judgment? What is the Great White Throne Judgment? Where will it be conducted? When is the Great White Throne Judgment? And finally, why is there a Great White Throne Judgment? So I'll be answering these specific questions and more in the month of May. We'll be getting into this exciting statement of prophecy, the dead judged prophecy in the book of Revelation. So all this month of May, I'll be sharing with you exciting and hopefully insightful presentations focused on answers to these questions from the Book of Revelation. I'm your Book of Revelation research scientist, and these talks are happening live at 12 p.m. Central Time on Sunday and 4 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. So from the Amplified Classic Translation, let's hear the abstract for the statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Each prophetic statement, each statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation was given to John in a vision. Using words from the Bible as a title, this is the statement of prophecy, the dead judged. From the Amplified Classic Translation, verse 11 of 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. End quote. Now, I read those first two verses because those verses are the abstract for the statement of prophecy in its entirety. So for these statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation, God uses an ingenious professional writing strategy, which is the use of an abstract. So when nonfiction, important and complex scientific reports are written, the authors create what is essentially a movie trailer for the larger body of work. So in the same way, that a director creates a trailer for us prospective viewers. A trailer is very short, usually 60 seconds. Compare 60 seconds to 180 minutes or 120 minutes that a movie might be. So a movie trailer is very short. In the book of Revelation, each statement of prophecy has a movie trailer. God showed this to me supernaturally as I have been studying the book. I have seen the use of abstract, of course, at my work as a research scientist. Scientists use them all the time. I had no idea that God was using this professional writing strategy. Now, why do we care? The purpose of an abstract is it shows us the key conflicts, the key issues from the perspective of the writer. It is an attempt to elicit our attention and to get us to commit to reading a larger body of work. It summarizes very briefly a lot of important events. So in professional writing, what follows in abstract is continued discussion. So if you're watching a movie trailer, and let's say we were watching a movie trailer for Forrest Gump, well, we see in the trailer something that happens at the end of the movie, but the trailer was only 60 seconds. When we go to see the movie, now the movie goes back in time and starts earlier than the end of the trailer because the trailer was just a summary. This is why the book of Revelation is confusing to many readers. We have to know, what are we looking at? Where are we in the book? So once you know where the abstracts are for the statements of prophecy, you will be amazed, inspired, and encouraged because you'll have clarity on what is happening and where you are. Your eyes will open up. You'll have a better understanding of the book of Revelation because now you have that key showing you exactly what you're looking at. Okay, so we heard that abstract. Let me read it again briefly. Then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne and books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. What have we learned from that abstract? And then we're going to look at the statement in its entirety. So key points from the perspective of the writer. The writer says, I'm going to give you additional information with continued discussion, but from my perspective, these are the key points. We learned there's a great white throne and God sits on that throne. That's communicated in the abstract of the dead judged prophecy. We also learned there's a coming judgment which will be conducted by God. A third thing we learned is that at this judgment, which is sometimes called the great white throne judgment, the dead will be judged. Now, a question for us to answer is, who are the dead? There are two judgments. There's the judgment for those who are in Christ and those who have died in Christ, and there's the judgment for those who have died, but they were not in Christ. So, this is the second judgment. The dead judged prophecy is the second judgment which precedes the second death. This is the judgment for those who did not live again until after the 1,000 years of the millennial reign. So these are those who died but did not die in Christ. They have been disembodied. They are in Hades without the light of God or the light of the earth. Now, you say, Dr. Nicole, you're saying things that I haven't heard before, or where can you show me that in Bible scripture? Let us take a look together at verse number 5, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 20. So in this verse, it says, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So in verse 4, it talks about what happens at the first judgment. And then in verse 5 of chapter 20, it talks about the remainder of the dead. So we're in the dead judged prophecy. Before this prophecy, there's the dragon bound prophecy. So what am I talking about? At the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, everyone who has died in Christ will receive a glorified, incorruptible body. Those individuals who are in Christ at the time of the second coming will not experience the first death, but will be changed in the twinkling of an eye like everyone else, but will not fall asleep. I'm going to share more about that later. That's the, so all those who died in Christ are restored to life at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we are three parts as human beings. We are body, spirit, and soul. There is continuity of life for all persons who were born on the earth. That continuity looks like this. If you are in Christ, you experience the first death, unless you're here at the time of the second coming, you experience the first death. When that happens, the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you are disembodied, but you are present with the Lord. Your body has fallen asleep. We're going to look at scriptures on that today. Your body has fallen asleep, but your self-same spirit continues, so your mind, will, and emotions are completely intact. You are present with the Lord in a disembodied state, and your spirit is intact. So your spirit's intact, your soul, mind, will, and emotions are intact, but you are disembodied. So at the time of the second coming, we know that you are restored to life again. This scripture, verse 5 of chapter 20, says the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So earlier in the book of Revelation, we learn that at the time of the second coming, Jesus Christ leads the battle of Armageddon. He defeats the Antichrist and the false prophet who are thrown into the lake of fire. Those troops are taken out by Jesus. They experience the first death as a result of the sword that is wielded by Jesus. It says in verse 21 of chapter 19, and the rest were killed with the sword that issues from the mouth of him who was mounted on the horse, and all the birds fed ravenously and glutted themselves with their flesh. And it said earlier in verses 19 and 20, then I saw the beast and the rulers and leaders of the earth with their troops mustered to go into battle and make war against him who was mounted on the horse and against his troops. And the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp mark of the beast. And then it continues. So the beast is the Antichrist, and of course the false prophet. So the Antichrist and the false prophet It says, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And then after, in verse 21, it says, and the rest were killed with the sword that issues from the mouth of him who is mounted on the horse. So at this time, those of us who are in Christ at the time of the second coming and those of us who have died in Christ, we have already been restored to life again. We are restored to life again. That's discussed in another statement of prophecy, actually multiple statements of prophecy. But at this point, we have already been restored to life again. We are here at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. Once the Battle of Armageddon has been fought and won by Jesus Christ, the kingdoms of this world are put down. Jesus Christ establishes his government, which will persist from the time of his winning of the Battle of Armageddon through the millennial reign and into the eternities of eternities. We're in the dead judge prophecy, and we want to know, who is this prophecy talking about? So we learn in the same chapter, in the statement of prophecy preceding this one, it says the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So that means that other people were already restored to life again. Who were those other people? Those who are the harvest of the wheat. So recall, earlier in the book of Revelation and also in Matthew, Jesus gives the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that there is a harvest. The harvest happens at the same time. It's in Revelation chapter 14. That's the Lamb stood prophecy. And in this prophecy, in chapter 14, we learn that there are two harvests. The first harvest is the harvest of the earth. The earth's crop was harvested. And what does that mean? That means that all the individuals who are in Christ at the time of the second coming are raptured, receive the glorified, incorruptible body. And then there's a second harvest, is the fruitage of the vine of the earth. And it says in verse 20 of chapter 14, and the grapes in the winepress were trodden outside the city, and blood poured from the winepress, reaching as high as horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the fact that every person who has ever existed will be restored to life again, with the exception of the Antichrist, who experiences the lake of fire once Jesus has defeated him and the false prophet at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. So those individuals go into the lake of fire immediately. We learn that in verse 20 of chapter 19. The Antichrist and the false prophet, it says, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. However, what happens to the rest? They are not restored to life again until after the 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, when we discuss that prophecy in great detail, we'll talk about the 1,000-year millennial reign, but for now, we need to know that those who do not die in Christ, they are disembodied. So we're all disembodied when we experience death. The question is, when are we restored to life again? So either an individual who experiences the first death, and friend, unless you are here at the time of the second coming, you will experience the first death. Why? The world is under a curse. The world is under the dominion of Satan at this time. And so what that looks like is your body reaching a certain peak and then beginning to decline. That looks like your vision being impaired. That might look like you were born with one leg shorter than another, or at some point you struggled with bouts of depression or anxiety. Perhaps cancer runs in your family and you had a mastectomy, or maybe you had an extraction because you had prostate cancer. That's not God's best for you or for me. His best is a perfect, incorruptible body that has blood, that has no genetic flaws in it. The Bible tells us that the sins of the Father are visited on the sons up to the third and fourth generation. There are things that you and I might struggle with that have nothing to do with decisions that we made. It has to do with the fact that our DNA is not perfect. But I have good news for you. There's coming a time when your DNA will be perfect. There's coming a time when your body will be a glorified, immortal, incorruptible body that will never reach its peak. A body that you can count on, a body that is not subject to the evil that exists in the world. Now, in the introduction to the book of Revelation, it says, when referring to Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead. I'm reading from verse 5 in the book of Revelation. From Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth. Key point for us right now, firstborn of the dead. If there's a firstborn of the dead, that means that there are others who come second and third and fourth. Those others are you and me. So every person who has died and experienced the first death, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet who immediately go to the lake of fire, the rest of us will be restored to life again. So either you can be restored to life again at the time of the second coming, or if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in other words, you're saying, well, at the time of the judgment, when my case comes up, let me go ahead and pay for my sins. So we have all sinned. I don't want to sin, but I have sinned. I don't mean to sin. You probably don't mean to sin. I believe you're doing your very best. That being said, you fall short. I fall short. But we are fortunate because Jesus Christ has paid the price for our sin. So when it's time to be restored to life again, either at time one or time two, there are two different ways to pay for our sins. Why do we have to pay for our sins? Because God is a righteous God. God is a fair God. God is a God of justice. So that means that if wrongdoing has happened, that must be corrected. There must be a payment for a sin. When the sin is paid for, if an individual is in right standing, then the individual is permitted. The individual is permitted to be in the presence of God, to have an incorruptible body, to continue on the earth through the millennial reign, and to be present when the new earth comes, the earth that is free from the curse, the earth that is a version of this current earth, but better, without the problems, without animals eating each other to survive, without trees being annihilated through disease, without war inspired by Satan and the angels who follow. You're going to be restored to life again, either at time one or time two. Time number one is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Time number two is the great white throne judgment. For 1,000 years after the second coming, Jesus Christ will be on the earth. Those who are in Christ will rule and reign with him. Satan will be bound in the abyss. It says that in verse 1 of chapter 20. And at the end of the 1,000 years, he's permitted to roam the earth for a short time, at which point he's thrown afterwards, he's thrown into the lake of fire. But right now we're talking about the dead judged prophecy. So it says, I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. So the books that are opened refer to cases. So there's a book the Bible tells us about each person's life, but the key thing is that it says, then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done. I want to talk about this book of life, but let's get some clarity, more details from the book of Revelation on who the dead are. Let's be persuaded about the truth. Let's understand who is going to be judged at the great white throne judgment and who will not be judged. In verse 13, so now we're going into the continued discussion, the rest of the prophecy for the dead judged prophecy, beginning with verse 13. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried in their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. Now notice, we heard about this already, but now in the continued discussion of the prophecy, we're getting more details. So we already heard the movie trailer, which is the abstract. Now the narrator is giving us more details, filling in blanks, additional information. So what's the additional information that we have? Let me continue. Verse 14, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. Let's get that continued discussion again. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried in their cases determined by what they had done, according to their motives, aims, and works. Now, this is the same language we saw in verse 12, but we got some additional details in verse 13 because we're in the continued discussion. So it says, the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. So the sea is a metaphor in the book of Revelation for the nations. The nations. So any person who dies at the time of the second coming is in the nations. Then it says, and this is where we have more individuals, death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrender the dead in them. This is very key. So death, disembodied existence, they are holding hostage individuals. So Hades is a literal place, and the same way that heaven is a physical place, those are two locations where disembodied individuals dwell. Now you say, well, Dr. Nicole, if they're disembodied, can you see them? What does their disembodied state look like? I don't have an answer for that excellent question, and I don't see where we're told that in the Bible, but we do know that they exist. I presume they have some kind of form. Elsewhere in the book of Revelation, John says he saw the souls. So when he saw them, he doesn't describe what they look like, but he says he saw the souls. And so here we learn in verse 13 that those individuals who are disembodied, the dead who are disembodied and dwelling in Hades, Hades is going to have to let them go. In the same way that heaven is great, but when we are restored to life again, if we experience the first death, we go to heaven, but then we come back to the earth. And we're here with Jesus. And then at the end, God, once the dead are judged, God brings heaven to the earth. And he creates a new heaven and a new earth, merging them together. But staying where we are right now, those individuals who are disembodied, so they still have their same soul, mind, will, and emotions, they have their same spirit, they have perfect continuity of life with the exception of their body, so they're disembodied, but they live again. In verse 5 of the same chapter, it says, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So once we leave that statement of prophecy, now we're in the dead judged statement of prophecy, which begins with verse 11. And in verse 13, it tells us, okay, now what happens to those people who were not restored again until the 1,000 years was up? Well, they're going to be delivered. What are they delivered from, and what now are they delivered to? They are delivered from Hades. They are literally restored to life again. So all will be restored to life again. Now, what happens to them? It says in verse 13, all were tried in their cases, determined by what they had done, according to their motives, aims, and works. What else happens? It says, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. So there is a second death, which is the lake of fire. Now, in verse 6, in the previous statement of prophecy, when talking about those who took part in the first resurrection, that's those of us who are in Christ, it says in the previous statement of prophecy, over them the second death exerts no power or authority, but they shall be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. So for 1,000 years, those who are in Christ will rule along with him, be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah for 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years are completed, we call that the millennial reign. After that millennial reign, the remainder of the dead are restored to life again, and their cases are tried. So three things happen here. Number one, death does not exist anymore. It's thrown into the lake of fire. So God says, I am done with this concept, this reality, this ugly thing called death. Imagine how much you love your mom, your dad, your child, your neighbor. When you love someone, you never want to see that person hurt. You want to see that person continue and thrive and grow and be excellent. If that is your heart's intention and you are a mere person, imagine what God's intentions are. Death is not God's best. And God tells us that he's throwing death into the lake of fire. So he's throwing death into the lake of fire, which is the second death. What else is he throwing into the lake of fire? Hades. So that place where the disembodied who are not in Christ, that place where they dwell right now, that's also going into the lake of fire. That's the second thing. Now, what's the third thing? This is the part that's important, because you have to decide, when do you want to be restored to life again? Do you want to be restored to life again at the time of the second coming? Or do you want to be restored to life again at the time of the great white throne judgment, which happens immediately at the conclusion of the millennial reign? In verse 15 of the dead judged prophecy, it says, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. friend, whatever you do, make sure your name is in that book of life. Make sure that your name is in the book of life. We are going to spend time looking at scriptures right now on the book of life. What is the book of life, and why is it so important? Why do we care about this? So in Psalms chapter 69, verse 28, it says, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and the book of life, and not be enrolled among the uncompromisingly righteous, those upright and in right standing with God." So we learn from this scripture that those whose name is in the book of life are, quote unquote, enrolled among the righteous. So you are enrolled among the righteous. What else do we know about the book of life? It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, "And I exhort you to, my genuine yoke fellow, help these two women to keep on cooperating, for they have toiled along with me in the spreading of the good news, the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." And in Revelation, we have four instances where the book of life is mentioned. We started with talking about verse 15 of chapter 20, the last verse in the dead judge prophecy. But what else does it say, and where else does it talk about the book of life in Revelation? In verse 5 of chapter 3, it says, and this is the part of the Bible, a foundational element before the statements of prophecy. Jesus has words that he gives to the angel, that he gives to John for the angel, for the seven churches in Asia that existed at that time. So let's hear those words that Jesus specifically spoke, which are transcribed in chapters 2 and 3 in their entirety, are the transcribed words of Jesus. Here's what he says in verse 5 of chapter 3 to one of the seven churches. He says, "Thus shall he who conquers, is victorious, be clad in white garments, and I will not erase or blot out his name from the book of life. I will acknowledge him as mine, and I will confess his name openly before my Father and before his angels." So Jesus said that more than 2,000 years ago. The book of life was important 2,000 years ago. It's important today, and it's important in the future. The book of life is used as a primary tool to determine the disposition of a person's case, to determine the outcome. Let's continue. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. "And all the inhabitants of the earth will fall down in adoration and pay him homage, everyone whose name has not been recorded in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain and sacrificed from the foundation of the world." So chapter 13 is the dragon power statement of prophecy. This is where we learn what Satan does during the Great Tribulation. We learn about the 10-nation, one-world government. We learn about the activities of the false prophet. We learn about the activities of the Antichrist. And it says here that those whose names are not recorded in the book of life, in other words, these are the people who have taken the mark of the beast, they fall down in adoration and pay homage to the beast. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, it says, "The beast that you saw once was, but now is no more, and he is gone to come up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and proceed to go to perdition. And the inhabitants of the earth whose names have not been recorded in the book of life from the foundation of the world will be astonished when they look at the beast, because he once was, but now is no more, and is yet to come." So Let us continue in verse 27 of chapter 21. But nothing that defiles or profanes or is unwashed shall ever enter it, talking about the New Jerusalem, nor anyone who commits abominations, unclean, detestable, morally repugnant things, or practices falsehood, but only those whose names are recorded in the Lamb's book life. So in verse 21, we have the new earth prophecy. So this is the prophecy that talks about what happens after the dead are judged, that second group, at the second judgment, the great white throne judgment. After those individuals are judged, they are thrown into the lake of fire. And you might say, well, wait a minute. You said I have a choice, that I can be restored to life again at time number one, the second coming, or at time number two, after the thousand-year millennial reign. That's absolutely true. If you say, you know what, I want to pay for my own sin debts, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. There is a first death and a second death. We learn in this prophecy that the second death is the lake of fire. Let's read verse 14 of chapter 20. It says from the Amplified Classic Translation, then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. There's only one way to avoid the second death. And we know that you can avoid the second death, which is being hurled into the lake of fire for eternity. You can absolutely avoid it if you're hearing my voice right now. It says in verse 6 of chapter 20, blessed, happy to be envied, and holy, spiritually whole, of unimpaired innocence and proved virtue is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. Over them, the second death exerts no power or authority, but they shall be ministers of God and of Christ, the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. So that second death is nothing to fear if you are in Christ. If you are an atheist, or you say, you know, I'm not a Christian, I'm a spiritual person. You know, I'm a good person. I need to tell you right now that being good is not enough. You can't work your way into right standing with God. The only way to be in right standing with God, in other words, when your case comes up, when your case comes up, and it tells us here, it tells us in verse 13, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done, according to their aims, motives, according to their motives, aims, and works. Your case, if you're paying your own sin debt, you're going to lose that case. Because you have definitely sinned and I have definitely sinned, so it's no way that I'm going to allow myself to be restored to life again at that time of the great white throne judgment. No, I'm going at time number one, because I am saying, and I encourage you to seriously consider saying the same thing, I am saying I repent of my sins and I'm a sinner. I'm sorry that I sinned. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, and I accept your free payment of my sin debt. And I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. You can make that same decision. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You can repent of your sins. You can submit to Jesus, because the way of a man isn't in him. Either you are under the influence of and submitted to God, or you were under the influence of and submitted to Satan. Okay, let's stay on time one and time two, and when are you going to be restored to life again? If you are restored to life again, and it's absolutely your choice, if you say my decision is I want to pay for my own sin debt, at that great white throne judgment, you have an appointment, if that's your decision. You will definitely be restored to life again. You don't think, you say, well, I think when you die, nothing happens. That's it. That's not true, friend. The Bible tells us in verse 5 of chapter 20, the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. We don't have a choice in this. We are going to be restored to life again. We don't get to decide whether we're restored to life again. There's continuity of life. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions continue beyond the first death. Your spirit continues beyond the first death. Your body does not continue immediately after the first death, but it is restored to life again. Now, either it's restored to life again at time one, and you get a glorified, perfect, incorruptible body, or it's restored to life again at time two, and your case is heard, but God tells us the outcome. God tells us the outcome of the case. If your name is not recorded in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, who is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, if your name is not recorded in the Lamb's book of life, then you will experience the second death, and you will be hurled into the lake of fire. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like a loving God. Well, I wouldn't do that if I was God. Well, I'm not God, and you're not God. God's ways are higher than our ways. Now, you might have had this wish I've had many times. I wish that there was no war. I wish that there was no evil. I wish that there would never be a time where a person is murdered, that no child would die prematurely of cancer. I wish that my parents would live forever. I wish that the list goes on and on and on. Do you know that those wishes are inspired by God? God's wish and God's plan is for there to be a world without war, a world that has perfect peace, a world that is free of evil. Now, God has a plan to make this come to pass. He has communicated his plan, and we can decide if we want to cooperate with the plan. Now, what is cooperating with God's plan for perfect peace on the earth look like? It looks like getting free of anything that would have us subjected to evil. The dead are judged in the dead judged prophecy because God is going to bring a new earth. So the last statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation is the new earth prophecy. And God tells us in the new earth prophecy, which begins with verse 1 of chapter 21, then I saw a new sky, heaven, and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away. Then he goes on to explain how he's excited, how God brings his actual house. God is going to take his abode, it tells us, and bring it from heaven to earth, and he's going to bring heaven, emerge it, superimpose it onto the earth, and in that way, the earth is resurrected. So in the same way that you are going to get your perfect body as a person in Christ, a person whose sin debt is paid for, and therefore your name's in the book of life, the earth is going to be restored. It will no longer be on the curse, under the curse, in a curse. In order for there to be an earth which is perfected, there can't be any evil on the earth. So if you're at the great white throne judgment and you have sin in you and you have a sin nature because you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell inside you, and you are under the dominion of Satan, that's a problem. That is incompatible with God's plan for a new earth that's free of evil and sin. So if you are at the time of the great white throne judgment, you are not cooperating with God, because God says, my plan is to create a new earth for the royal race. So God is creating a royal race, and that's a race of individuals who have all accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Instead of the mark of the beast, it tells us in Revelation chapter 22 that we have the name of Jesus on our forehead. We don't have the name of Satan or the mark of the beast. In chapter 22, verse 4, it says, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. So what's the take-home point? You are empowered to decide when you will be restored to life again. You must decide whether you're going to be restored to life again at time one or time two. I want to answer some of these specific questions, and then I want to take your live calls. If you have a call, please raise your hand. I think I missed you, 402. I saw your hand raised, but it looks like you're not on here. If you have a question, I see callers in the queue. Thank you for being here. Please raise your hand and let me know. Our phone number is 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. When you call, you can press 1 if you'd like to share your perspective or question. Or if you want, you can also text. You can text us your question 24/7. Please text your questions for me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, and want to get our text phone number for you. Our text phone number is 1-214-505-8719. You can text in your question to 1-214-505-8719. Don't see a new question. So let me continue with what we're talking about now. You get to decide, and yes, you got to do that. Make a decision. When are you going to be restored to life again? Now, let's go back to those questions that I shared that I would be answering. So first, number one, what does God say about being immortal? God says, and we learn this from the book of Revelation, you can be immortal. Not only do you have the ability to be immortal, it is God's best. It's God's best for you to have a perfect, incorruptible body that never gets sick, that allows you to be on a perfect, incorruptible earth for the eternities of eternities. So, yes, you can be immortal. You decide whether you are going to be immortal with an incorruptible body that you receive at the time of the second coming, or whether you want to be restored to life again and be thrown into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Second question, what is the book of life? The book of life is a book, a literal book that exists in which the names of all individuals who are in Christ appears. When your name is in the book of life, that means that your sin debts are paid for by Jesus Christ. Your sins are blotted out, and instead it says paid in full, paid in full. So if your name is in the book of life, that means that you are victorious. That means that you have received the crown of life. Now you say, well, what are you talking about, Dr. Nicole, the crown of life? Is there a literal crown? I don't know. But I know this from the book of Revelation. When you have the crown of life, that means you don't experience the second death. That means that you live in a body, a perfect body, perfect DNA, a body that never gets sick. You can run like the wind. You can do jumping jacks. You can do whatever you want in that body. You can eat. When Jesus, the firstborn of the dead, came back, he had fish. They were able to touch him. He was able to rise up, so you'll be able to rise up in this perfect body. It's version two of your body, the best version of your body, God's best for your body. What are some of these other questions we have? Is it possible to avoid death? Yes and no. If you die before the second coming of Jesus Christ, then you haven't avoided death. You experience the first death. So if your body corrodes to the point of it no longer being hospitable to your spirit, or if you have a horrible accident, then you will experience the first death and you can't avoid it. However, if you are here at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ and you are in Christ, then you will actually avoid the first death and the second death. You might say, Dr. Nicole, I've never heard that. That's not making sense to me. Is there a Bible scripture for that? Absolutely. It says in Corinthians, Peter says, I tell you a secret, not all shall fall asleep, but we all will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Now, what does that mean? Asleep means it's a metaphor for death. Now, you say, well, why is there a metaphor for death? Because the first death is temporary. All will be restored to life again. The most important death is the second death. That's the death for which we have a choice. We can decide, are we going to do what it takes to make sure that the second death has no power over us, as discussed in verse 5 of chapter 20, or are we saying, you know what, I will pay for my own sin debt, in which case no amount of good works, no number, you can't give enough to God. You can't do enough good deeds to work your way into eternal life on the new earth. It's not possible. There must be perfection because God is perfect. Well, how can God perfect you? How can God perfect me if I have sinned and if I'm going to sin in the future, even if I don't want to? God can perfect us by allowing our sin debt to be paid for in full. In that way, our cases, the payment has been made. So we are in right standing. We are in right standing with God in that way, and our names appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. So isn't that exciting? You get to decide whether your name is going to appear in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. And it says in Romans chapter 14, verse 9, for Christ died and lived again for this very purpose, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. And in verse 10 it says, why do you criticize and pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you look down upon or despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. And in verse 12 it says, and so each of us shall give an account of himself, give an answer in reference to judgment to God. Now, let's talk about this. We learn that there are two judgments, and in the dead judged prophecy, that judgment is specifically talking about those individuals who are not in Christ, those individuals whose names do not appear in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, a judgment, and you pass that judgment, a second question, so that's important. That's important. That's a key thing. You pass the judgment, you get your glorified body. A second thing is that there are rewards. Now you say, wait a minute, they're rewards. I thought you said you can't work your way into heaven. You can't work your way into right standing with God. You can't. However, there are two issues. One issue is, will you get a glorified body and be positioned to live during the millennial reign and on the new earth? Yes or no, that's one issue. A second issue is, well, with the time that you had on the earth, what did you do? And in verse 12 of chapter 22, the last chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, "Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit." Now, he said, "I'm coming soon," and he's bringing with him his wages and rewards. So who's he? I am coming soon. Jesus Christ is talking. Jesus is telling us that he's coming soon and that he's bringing wages and rewards, a reward. So, friend, I don't know what the rewards are, but if your mom or dad, husband or wife, niece, nephew, cousin has given you a good gift, what kind of gift do you think God has for you? I mean, it says, "I have not seen nor ear heard all the good things that I have planned for those who love me and who are called according to my purposes." So, if you are fulfilling and have fulfilled the purposes of God, he tells us here that he has some rewards for you and he has some wages for you. So again, at the time of the second coming, there's the judgment, and the judgment is, yes, sin debts are paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, and there's a judgment where you get wages and rewards. Now, you say, "Well, Dr. Nicole, what specifically do I get?" Jesus says to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. So there is coming a time of judgment. If you are in Christ, that is something for you to look forward to. It's not something for you to be afraid of. When we are in Revelation, there are two judgments discussed in the book of Revelation. There's the judgment for those who are in Christ and whose names are in the book of life. And there's the judgment for those whose name is not found in the book of life. So that book of life is key. It is important. It was important enough for Jesus Christ to specifically talk about it 2,000 years ago in his words to the seven churches in Asia. It's important right now. That's why I am talking about it with you. And it's going to be important in the future at the time of your judgment. If you are a Christian, the time of the rapture, the second coming, is something exciting and to look forward to. You're going to get your incorruptible body, and you are going to get rewards. So let me read that to you as we close. "Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit." So this is very exciting. It is something for us to look forward to. Let's make sure we've answered all of these questions. Another question is, when is the great white throne judgment? It is at the conclusion of the millennial reign. Why is there a great white throne judgment? There's a great white throne judgment because the new earth is coming. And on the new earth, no sin is permitted. No evil is permitted on the new earth. So the Antichrist will already be in the lake of fire. The false prophet will be in the lake of fire. All those who refused to get rid of their sin nature and be in Christ, they are in the lake of fire. That has to be the case because the earth cannot be corrupted because God is moving from heaven to the earth. And when he moves, he's creating a new earth, a new heaven and a new earth. And we'll learn in the new earth statement of prophecy that he actually merges heaven onto a new earth. It's going to be awesome and wonderful. So we have that great white throne judgment because we're going into a new time of life, a time when there will be nothing evil on the earth. There'll be no disease. There'll be no corruption. And in order for that to continue and to thrive, and in order for the earth to be suitable for the royal race and for God, no evil thing or evil person can be on it. So that is the purpose of the Great White Throne Judgment, to prepare the earth for its inhabitants, which include Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, God the Father, and all members of the royal race. Something exciting and to look forward to. Please make sure that you have made a conscious decision about when you will be restored to life again. It is within your power to decide whether you will experience the first resurrection. That's the time that all individuals who will receive an incorruptible body will be restored to life again. Or are you going to be restored to life again after the 1,000-year millennial reign, in which case you will be subject to the Great White Throne Judgment, and the outcome of your case is known. If you're restored to life again at that time, the outcome of your case is known. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. There are only those two choices. So I encourage you to make the right choice, the choice that will allow you to be on the new earth for the eternities of eternities. I want to thank you for listening today. Before I end, I want to make sure I've answered any questions or concerns that you have. If you have a question or concern, please text it in at any time. You can also raise your hand. I am going to continue with further analysis and discussion, specifically talking about asleep and other key scriptures in this dead judged prophecy during our next time. So please join me. Before we end, I want to pray over you from the book of Revelation. Today I declare over you, according to the word of God, that you are blessed, happy to be envied, because today you did hear word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, and you do keep yourself true to the things which are written in it, heeding them, laying them to your heart, because the time for them to be fulfilled is near. Thank you so much for listening. I pray that you have a blessed end of day and week. Please make sure that you join us next time right here on Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. Until next time.